Hello, everybody. My name is Rich Burfer, and I'm joined by none other than the legend himself, Pete Horner. No, he is not Lance Brzdowski. For any of our past listeners, Lance has moved on, and he's currently writing for about 12 to 50 different baseball websites. So I always recommend you to go out and check out his awesome stuff. Of course, our Collegiate Baseball Scouting Network writing staff continues to provide incredible content on our website, cbsscout.net. So be sure to check out some awesome content on our site. And really, for all of our listeners from our former podcast, The Spot Starters, welcome back. To our new listeners, welcome to our reloaded Collegiate Baseball Scouting Network podcast, Pitching to Contact. Pete, how's it going, dude?
I am just absolutely outstanding today, Richard. How you doing, man?
I'm doing awesome, man. I've actually had a really, really long day. I don't know how much sleep you got last night with the Cubs game, but I only have one class this entire semester, and it just so happens to be at 8 a.m. today. So I honestly just got back from school and I'm ready to go.
Yeah, man. Didn't you say you had like how many hours of office hours today?
Oh my God. It was 4 hours and it was torture. And I don't get paid enough for what I do. I show up to today's class and it's 50% of the mark is all participation. The first hour, I just couldn't even speak. Like, I'm just so tired from the Cubs game. And that Cubs game was insane.
That was just insane, man.
I knew I had class this morning, but I was so invested in the outcome that I just couldn't leave. Like, I had my Cubs jersey on, I had two of my Cubs hats on. I just had to see Javi Baez hit a dinger, and it really happened.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, yesterday, what was so great about like that game in general is like, I'm a pitching nerd, and yesterday was such a pitcher's duel, and it was just such a cat and mouse game between the hitter and the pitcher that, like, to me, when those games kind of happen, it's hard for me to just close my laptop, close the ESPN2 stream, close all that, and go to sleep. I'm sitting there, it's 1:30 in the morning, and I'm just like, I have an 8 a.m.
Yeah,
I'm not going to bed.
Yeah, you can't leave at that point. And just watching that game, watching how John Lester and Kyle Freeland just went at it, even with Alex Rodriguez commentating in the background, it was incredible. And you didn't really see guys blow hitters away with stuff. It was command. It was just a bunch of cutters. It's just a pitchability clinic.
Yeah, it was just pitching at its finest. It was just pitching at its core, just spotting up, mixing speeds, and just in general, just nasty. Like, maybe not, once again, not nasty 99 miles an hour blow you away stuff, but like nasty, just I have great break. I can command the fastball low in the zone. I can mix speeds really well. I know how to mix up your timings. I know how to do all that kind of stuff to get you out. It was really cool just to see all of those pitchers just come out and finesse everybody. And it was really a great thing to watch.
Yeah, it's really just a lost art in pitching. I mean, we're recording this during the Yankee-Oakland game, and we're watching Luis Severino throwing 99-mile-per-hour gas, striking everyone out with his stuff. Yesterday, it was straight pitchability. It's just a couple guys who really know how to pitch, mess up hitters' timings. Like, you saw Freeland was
just sexy, dude. Just how much, just like he could just, incredible. Like, from stride step to full, just, it was just, oh, dude, it was just like, wow. Yeah, good luck timing that up.
Yeah. Dude, I did not think the Rockies could pull away that game. Like, when the Cubs came back and scored that one run,
energy, I thought in that building was just like,
it was off the charts.
It reminded me a lot of Game 7 of the World Series back in 2016. Now, I'm, for all listeners at home that don't really know much about my background, I'm from Cleveland, so I'm an Indians homer. So, like, 2016 World Series rolls around. Game 7, Rajay Davis hits that home run to tie the game in Game 7. And just the energy of that building just shifts so much. And you just think to yourself, wow, there is no way that the Indians are not winning this game. Now, obviously, the end of that game turned out that they didn't win that game, but I felt the same kind of feeling last night with the Cubs watching that game. When Javi Baez hit that double and they tied that game, just the energy in that stadium was just like, wow, there is no way that the Rockies are going to pull through with this. But they did. They made their pitches where they needed to, and they executed when they needed to, and they got one more run than the Cubs did, and they ended up winning it.
Yeah, you know, since you actually brought in Cleveland, we should probably introduce ourselves.
We should probably talk a little bit about ourselves.
What I've noticed with all of my podcasting, it's just a little bit all over the place, which is just how I like it. So, Pete, let's just rewind a little bit and just tell the people what they want to hear and just tell them who we are as human beings.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I love batting leadoff. This is great. First off, hi to all the viewers at home. I mean, listeners at home. My name is Pete Horner. I'm currently a junior at Bowling Green State University. I am the Midwest Regional Manager here at Collegiate Baseball Scouting Network. I've gotten my start here at CBBSN and my rise up thanks to this wonderful man that I'm doing this podcast with right now. To give you guys a little background on my baseball experience and where I've kind of journeyed throughout my life a little bit, I've had a pretty unique experience in baseball. Like ever since the beginning of college, I've been one of those kids who's always wanted to work in MLB front office or was always wanted to coach and that kind of stuff. So I've kind of grinded a lot and I've gotten some pretty cool opportunities. I got a chance to scout with the Sydney Blue Sox for a year. And then I ended up coming here to CBBSN and I started kind of working my way up and that was great. And just, I've kind of fallen in love with like pitching biomechanics and all that fun stuff. And like, I'm a data science major here at Bowling Green State University with a minor in economics. I'm definitely debating going to grad school and getting my biomechanics degree. Richard has definitely done with me on that. But just in general, just I do a lot of stuff with Bowling Green Baseball. I also coach Collegiate Summer League. I just got done coaching in the NYCBL this summer. And as I kind of mentioned before, I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. I'm a Cleveland sports homer. And just in general, just...
And a D1 bottom feeder.
Yeah, I like to call myself the D1 bottom feeder because kind of like I said, I do some work with Bowling Green State University. I want to any student managers out there that kind of is like a student manager for a baseball collegiate baseball team. I'm going to give you a shout out right now. I like to call us bottom feeders because that's what we are. But I think we're in a really good I think it's a really good position to kind of just sit back and learn the game. But yeah, just in general, that's just kind of an overall gist of what I am. I mean, I know a lot of these viewers already know what you are, Richard, but you want to kind of give them a little background on yourself real quick.
Yeah, for sure. I think one of the reasons we just have such a beautiful relationship is that we both love pitching biomechanics. Like when I was growing up, I was always a hitter, but I was always just so fascinated by pitching. And that's kind of inspired me to do what I'm doing in grad school right now. What I'm doing at Brock University up in Canada is I'm trying to quantify the effects of fatigue on a baseball pitcher. So a big part of what I do on a day-to-day basis is just pitching biomechanics. And besides that, I've scouted for Prep Baseball Report. I've done a lot of college placement stuff for our AAA team down up in Canada. I've been around baseball for a very long time, something I love probably more than I will ever love my future kids. So if they ever come across this podcast, they'll understand because I'm going to kind of hammer it into their brains that they come second. But that's really what I'm all about. And it's really funny because first met Pete. We had a very interesting conversation.
Oh, yeah, we got to kind of go into this.
This is important.
Yeah, basically what happens is that just to kind of give you a little background of what happened with me. I, like I said before, I scouted for about a year with the Sydney Blue Sox. They're an independent league team in Australia. That was a really unique and cool experience that I got to do, especially as at the time an 18-year-old kid to not only be able to scout professional, but something like that. That's really cool. But like the thing with independent league baseball is that there's a lot of turnover and a lot of things happen really quickly. So they changed their manager. And when the manager goes, everybody goes, doesn't matter how good of a job or how bad of a job you did, just everybody goes. So basically I was kind of in a nice way on my ass. And I was just kind of looking for new places to kind of just have a place to go and just kind of scout and just learn and grow as an individual. And I came across a CBBSN and I'm like, oh, cool. This seems really cool. And I had already talked to Justin a little bit about it before. And then so I applied. Yep. So I apply and I send in some scouting reports and Richard gives me a call and Richard calls me. And the first thing he says is, hey, bud, what's up? How you doing? You're from Bowling Green State University, right? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, do you know who Jake Wilson is? And I think Richard can kind of take the story from here.
So up here in Canada, I've done a lot of work with Prep Baseball Report, like I said. And every year we have something called a Pro Day. the very first pro day I've ever been to, I saw this one kid that I've never heard of before because I was new to scouting. This is like my very beginning, my come up. And Jake Wilson was there. And one thing I remember, there's always, whenever you go to showcases, every kid is the same. The kids that are that separate themselves are the ones who do something special on the baseball field. And that's when you know, like, that's the guy, right? Absolutely. Jake Wilson comes out in right field and starts throwing bombs out of right field. And I'm just like, I don't know who this kid is, but he looks really good. And then he has a really good couple of rounds of BP, does some stuff in game. And I'm like, okay, he's not like the top guys that everyone knows, and Andy Yerzes, the Jordan Balazovics, but like this guy has some game. And he went on to get drafted by the Boston Red Sox that year, didn't sign, decided to go to college. And he just so happened to go to beautiful Bowling Green State University.
I don't know if I'd call it beautiful, but
and that's how the bond kind of started.
Mean, honestly, literally our interview for CBBSN, I mean, my interview with Richard wasn't even an interview. Like, he looked at my scouting reports, said, dude, your scouting reports are really good. And then he asked me about Jake Wilson. And then basically we just had a 2-hour conversation about Jake Wilson.
Yeah. I probably missed two other interviews during that span. And I hope those guys sucked because I didn't get to talk to those guys. But yeah, if it wasn't for Jake Wilson, I probably would have hated you, dude. But so
yeah, and that's awesome. And look at this now. Like within like a month, I was your ARM, and now I'm your regional manager. It's like now I'm your podcast sidekick. Whoever thought that Jake Wilson would be the reason why I'm your?
It just happens so fast. It's like you meet a college girl in your freshman year, and you're just all over her, and then everything just starts going so fast, and now you're married with kids. That's us right now, and this podcast is gonna be our baby.
Yeah, it's our first thing right here.
Yeah, but like I said, we're recording this podcast during the Yankee Oakland game. We both actually missed the opening score. Aaron Judge hit a dinger. But I'm kind of watching this game in the corner, and Luis Severino is the complete opposite of what we saw yesterday. I think he's three innings in. He has, six strikeouts. Hasn't allowed a hit, I believe. Yeah, no hit. So it's just no one's touching him. It's either a base on balls or it's a K, and you're probably not catching up to it.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you can at least decently command 97 to 99 with that split finger that he freaking throws, if he's even slightly on, you're going to have a really hard time scoring a lot of runs off of that. That's for sure.
And that's a big thing you mentioned there. Just going back to scouting and looking at prospects from a high school level all the way up to college, especially if you go down to the States. I know in Canada you barely see guys throwing 90, but you go down to the States and you see a bunch of kids throwing 90. That doesn't make them special anymore, right? You mentioned about Jake Wilson. He threw from the outfield, and I'm like, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with pitchers. You can throw 90 plus, but what separates you? It's breaking ball.
Yeah, it's your breaking ball. It's the way you command it. It's the way you command it with your slide step, your arm slots, just your timing in general, your overall physique as a pitcher. There's so many things other than just your velo number that count when it comes to, at least from a D1 baseball perspective, what we look for. And like, there's so much more to the game than just, I throw 91. Like, it's a start. It's a good base to have. It helps that you throw 91, 92, but you need to be able to command and then also be able to mix in a solid off speed and all that kind of stuff to even be competitive.
Yeah. And of course, it's really difficult to kind of not fall in love with a kid who throws 90 plus, especially if you go to a showcase when he's the hardest throwing guy there. But for example, you and I both, we both watched the PGL All-American Classic, right? Everyone's throwing 92, 94.
Yep.
What separates those guys, right? They're all the same. Yep. But then you see a guy like Riley Cornelio come up, and I'm just watching him throw his curveball, and it's just incredible. That's when you see it. That's his thing. Like, exactly. This guy's special because he knows how to spin a baseball,
yeah.
Right?
Yep. Or like you, or just like, I know someone that you definitely have a love affection with is Mr. Leiter, and just the way he's able to command pitches in general.
Yeah.
It's just like,
there we go.
Those are like, to me, like, I know I talk a lot about command because to me, that's a very important thing. Like to me, like you got to be able to command 92 in order to make it work. It's one thing to be able to sit there at a showcase and throw as hard as you can into a net and you get 92 on it. But if you can't put that on the spot on a corner where the catcher puts his mitt and get that call from the umpire down in the zone, that isn't going to mean crap.
Yeah. And honestly, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm up in Canada. And like I said, not many people just throw that hard and blow kids away. But you look at kids like Ethan Hankins and Kumar Rock or who throw really high 90s. Of course, when they show up to PGL American Classics, everyone's a legit stud, right? Mm-hmm. And everyone can touch 92, 95. But if you just, I'm assuming, if you just watch them on their travel ball team playing travel ball against other high school kids, not everyone there is like a Reese Hines or a Jaden Brown or a Noah Naylor, you know?
Exactly.
This is my thought process. I feel like the reason there's so many questions about, say, Ethan Hankins' curveball is because his fastball is so good. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, you cannot improve on your curveball. You can't improve on your changeup if you don't get the reps in. And when you're Ethan Hines and you're 6'7", throwing downhill, topping 98 with nasty movement, why would you rely on your secondary stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like you're in travel ball. You're facing kids who – like I said, there's no Reese Hines, there's no Jaden Brown, there's no CJ Abram, no Bobby Witt.
Yeah,
you don't need your curveball. You strike guys out on three pitches, just throwing your fastball. What I was saying, I just feel that that's a big issue for some of these big arms. Like last year, that was the big high school arm draft, right?
Yep.
And you see so many guys pumping high 90s with movement. Mm-hmm. And then there are questions about their secondary stuff. And there are questions that are like, hey, are they ever going to develop it? Or will it take them more time? Like someone like Ethan Hankins, he could be the greatest pitcher in baseball if he develops properly because his stuff is off the charts. Or he can be a bullpen arm who just throws 98 with movement. He could be Zach Britton who threw 99% fastball.
I mean, it's still not the worst situation in the world. I mean, you are throwing 98 with great movement. I mean, that's going to get you somewhere. It's got you where you are right now. But kind of to tag off what you're kind of saying here, that to me, once again, when we analyze players, just coming from a D1 perspective, that's where we look at mentality and makeup and what they're about. Because, you're right. Not everybody's a top PG All-American prospect facing somebody every day. You're not at a ginormous showcase pitching every single day. It's not like 100 scouts' eyes are on you every single day. And if they are, good for you. You should actually have that pressure. That's great. But if not, to me, that's where makeup comes in. That's where your willingness to get better and not saying, I'm good at where I'm at right now. Because to me, when it comes to getting command, especially out of your off-speed stuff, yes, you might have a given gift to throw a ball 98 miles an hour and have the genetic makeup to make it move and all that kind of stuff. But if you want to get better with your off-speed and changeup and just commanding it in general and just overall just pitch sequencing, pitch tunneling, et cetera, that's where work comes in. That's where the reps come in the gym. That's where the reps come in the short toss, your short box, arm care, everything. That's where all that comes in. Now, the people that you see do that really well are the people who turn out to be the Max Scherzers, Corey Klubers, Justin Verlanders, Luis Severinos of the world. The other people just turn out to be the guy who threw 98, but now he's just bagging groceries at a GFS
like you said, if you just rely on the God-given tools that you have, you'll get to AA when you can keep blowing people away with your fastball.
Mm-hmm.
You can run into a bunch of baseballs if you have really great bat speed. You don't make adjustments. You don't put in the work. You're going to be gobbled up alive. And we saw that with a ton of guys. Look at someone like Jordan Hicks. He's throwing 101 right now, but he's starting to command his stuff a little better. He has a slider that's actually really filthy. I look at a lot of Pitching Ninja stuff, and there's some of his pitches are just off the charts. Obviously, it helps throwing 101, But even guys like that, velocity is not the only thing. And kind of like what we saw yesterday with Freeland and Lester, like pitchability is important, repeatability, and pitching is really just changing the messing with the timing of the hitter. And those
that's
are
all
the
it is guys, in general
that's really
sense.
All it is. Yeah, go
well,
ahead.
It's that, and then turning it's that and turning potential energy into kinetic energy down the mountain. But
yeah,
once
but
again,
that's boring.
We can get into later.
That's boring, though.
Yeah. Okay, I wouldn't call it boring to us, but like in general, though, like for by the way, I have a hot take on Jordan Hicks. In general, I actually was having a conversation with one of my pitchers today who has a buddy who is in the Cardinals organization who knows Jordan Hicks really, really well. Apparently, this kid actually is not a hard worker at all and, like, is just kind of a douche, apparently.
Well, I mean, that's what I mean, I don't really want to talk badly about guys on this podcast, but
absolutely.
I guess that's what kind of happens when you have, like we said,
yeah
like, and those are the guys who don't really need to work hard because they just got it, and that's 2% of the population.
But that's the but that's also the point I'm trying to make, though, with when it comes to your ethic, work ethic, and that kind of stuff, is that it's very rare that somebody is like a Jordan Hicks or someone is like an Aroldis Chapman that you can just throw 101 constantly with nasty off speed. That's if you have that, great, cool, utilize it. You're set. But the vast majority of the population, so what? You throw 91, 92. Good for you. You got there, but you got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess you guys are kind of wondering what we're going to be talking about from week to week. And this is just a little bit of it, talking prospects, talking mechanics. We're both big pitching guys. We love pitching. Obviously, we're going to talk about some hitting as well. We're hoping to get a ton of great guests for you guys to get outside perspectives from the game of baseball. I know we have a couple of names already planned, couple of great names in store for you guys. And really what this podcast is just going to be about is a couple dudes who love drinking Coronas and talking baseball. And hopefully one day we're going to just, I mean, we're already working in baseball. We're living the dream, dude. You know?
Oh, absolutely. This is, and the coolest thing is I sit here and just say, this is only the beginning. Once again, Richard, what are you, 23, 24?
Yeah. After today, I feel like I'm 50.
Yeah.
I'm digging my grave now right now.
But like genuinely though, how old are you, Richard?
I'm 24, sir.
You're 24? I'm 20. This is the beginning, bro.
Yeah, it's rude to ask a lady for her age, by the way.
Well, I apologize. Now, this is only the beginning. And I mean, this podcast, just kind of to say this out loud, like, I'm super excited to be here. It's going to be hard to fill in Lance's shoes, but I know definitely that the chemistry that you and I have together, Richard, is going to be something special. And I can't wait to just continue to deliver great content to all you guys.
Oh yeah, this is the type of chemistry that Javi Baez had with Nolan Arenado yesterday.
Oh boy, that was something special, dude. That entire game was something special, but just that moment right there is just like that's when you realize that a lot of the stuff is more than just 27 outs in dirt. Like this, like there's friendships, there's connections here.
I know we touched on the prospect thing, and speaking of the Cubs, there's a lot of young guys on this team who at one point were super prospects, and now they're just balling out, right? Javi Baez is a personal favorite of mine. And this is just kind of goes to show, all of these guys have a ton of tools, but there's more to it. You look at, for example, Wilson Contreras, cannon of an arm, you know? But there's so much more to it. Knows how to block. It's just the little things behind the blade.
Yeah.
Good blocker. Good bat to ball skills. Shifty, but at Javi Baez, yeah, he has a cannon for an arm. Fielding tool off the chart. But
one of the fastest bat speeds I've ever seen in my life. Like,
yeah, I'm right now. I'd even say that Javi Baez is probably the best athlete in baseball.
That's definitely.
Let's go top five. Because
that's fair. I was about to say, like, that's kind of disrespectful to a lot of that. It's just what you classify as an athlete, but I definitely get where you're coming from. I definitely would agree to the top five.
Sure. But yeah, what I mean is a lot of scouts overvalue tools.
Oh yeah.
And tools can only take you so far. But mm-hmm. then you look at guys like Javi Baez and you're like, this guy's a ball player.
Mm-hmm.
He's an athlete. He slows the game down. And really, when I go out and scout, especially up here in Canada, because I'm looking at high school kids,
mm-hmm.
I want to see the guys who can slow the game down, make the game look easy. And yeah. I know I talk a lot about Noah Naylor because he's a legend around these parts. But one of the things I liked so much about him is just how mature his game was. Like, he was 17. I was watching him when he was 15, 16, 17. But you watch him play, and it's like the guy's 25 playing against 14-year-olds, not because he looks like he's 25, but because his game is so mature. He can slow everything down.
Absolutely.
There's a couple guys that in Ontario alone that I'm really, really high on. And I know not many people outside of Ontario probably know them, but I just love what they bring outside of tools, just a natural feel for the game, just being able to slow everything down and just making difficult plays look easy. Yep. And that's something that kind of gets overshadowed by tools. If you find a guy who has insane bat speed, at a high school level, that's big. Because if you put that kid with insane bat speed on a major league roster, you just change his jersey color, he's going to run into a couple 98s. Yeah. If you hang a 98, he's probably going to run into it because he has insane bat speed that no one else at his high school level has at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I understand why tools are so valued, but our job as scouts is to predict where this guy is going to go. And our goal is to eventually find big leaguers.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that the guys who really understand the game, who can slow everything down, I keep repeating it, but those are the guys who are going to succeed.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I talk about with makeup in general, like what you're kind of screaming there is all of that. Like, there's the little things in the game. Like, once again, your tools, obviously that's to me, especially if you look at it from a professional perspective, that's probably a big chunk of what you need. You need tools, right? You need to be a great athlete. You need to be that kind of stuff. But at the same time, though, the little things are what separates a double-A guy, a triple-A guy, and a major leaguer. And then when you even break it down in Major League Baseball, the little things like that are what is the difference between a kind of, you know, low-tier major league player that's up and down with triple-A his entire career to a Max Scherzer or to a guy who gets paid $200 million. It's those little tiny little things that they do in their makeup and they do in their routine. They do every single day. That extra rep in the gym, your ability to just slow the game down, your ability to just make things look easy. Like you said before, Javi Baez just has an amazing ability to just make some of the hardest plays in baseball, especially as a shortstop, just look extremely easy.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And I mean, I talk to my sister about baseball because I talk to everybody about baseball. I'm boring. And she would say baseball is slow and boring. And yeah, I guess that's the perception for many people when they watch on TV, but they don't understand how quickly the game goes when you're on the field. And that's like we're talking with slowing the game down. You look at a guy like CJ Abram.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like he's a ball player. Like, everything is clean with him. It's fluid. He's a smooth athlete who just understands the game. Everything is going like in slow-mo for him. And yeah, he has tools. That's one of the things that makes him one of the best high school players in the nation. And then you look at a guy like Jerry Anealy, who's a football player, cannon of an arm, a lot of raw tools. He's not the same. He can't really slow the game down yet. He's not really as mature as CJ Abram.
He's not really as polished at all.
But he has this tool shed. You see him and he's like, oh my God, the raw power is there. Like, it could come. The arm speed is insane. He runs a 6'4".
Yeah.
He's built like a brick wall.
He's a filthy athlete. That's for sure.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And it's insane, and he just has to put everything together.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of reminds me of Kyler Murray, actually. Kyler Murray drafted first round by the Oakland Athletics. Now he's getting hit really, really hard at D1 football. And the Oakland Athletics are probably holding their breath probably twice as hard right now because
I would be shaking. I would be kind of shaking in my little front office press box right now, not just because I'm down 2-0 to the Yankees, but also because Kyler Murray's got another football game to play, and then another six or seven after this. So
yeah, and that's the thing. It's just you never really know how a hit tool is going to project on the next level. So I guess when you're scouting guys, you look at outside tools like athletic, feel for the game, maturity, all of that stuff. And I love the Kyler Murray pick. I really love, like, for example, look at what the Angels are doing in the draft. They're just drafting really athletic kids up the middle, and they can play all around the field. So, I mean, like, for example, the Angels, I believe the Angels drafted Osiris Johnson in, like, the second or third round. Yep. He's a super athletic shortstop. And not really as polished as like a CJ Abram. But you just see this team, and like, if they put everything together, like, this is going to be a scary team in the future. Look at Joe Adele. They drafted him a couple of years ago. The guy's a monster right now, and you can just tell he's putting everything together. But yeah, I'm just going on a tangent right now. That's usually what happens when I talk about baseball.
No, that's completely fine. You know, I'm the same way.
Yeah, and since we're going on a tangent, I feel like this is probably the perfect time to cut this first episode off. This has been a ton of fun. Excited for more episodes in the future. We're going to try to come at you once a week, bringing new content, lots of baseball talk, lots of college baseball, lots of pro ball, high school ball. We're going to get tons of guests, and I think that's been a pretty good way to pop the podcast cherry.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I completely agree. Before we go, though, I actually think this would be a good idea. First off, who do you got in this Oakland Yankees game?
Well, I mean, it's 2-0 Yankees right now. So I'm going to say Yankees. I would love to see Oakland win, but
here's the way I see it. All you need Severino to do is just make about 6 or 7 bad pitches. Yeah. And then just leave one right down the bucket for Chris Davis to hit into the left field bleachers, and you got a 3-2 ball game.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I'm not watching the game. I'm just following it on MLB at bat right now, because out of respect for you. It's a no hitter in the 4th, 7 Ks. Yeah, there's 4 walks. So it kind of seems like his stuff is off the charts right now. So if he just got a feel for his stuff right now, it's going to be tough to beat. And all you really got to do is pitch one more inning, and then it's bullpen time. And here come the guys to throw 99 with insane secondary pitches.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something we can kind of touch on in the next episode. But, like, definitely for sure, like, I mean, any person around baseball who's, like, really in tune with baseball understands that when it comes to postseason baseball, it's a completely different animal with the way you manage your pitchers. And honestly, like, it's what makes it so fun. Like you kind of had touched on before, you said that a lot of people tell you baseball is boring. A lot of people tell me baseball is boring as well. And I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I've never seen that, because to me, it's just, I understand the chess game that's going on with every single little pitch. And it's just such a beautiful thing to me.
There we go. Well, anyways, right before we go, one word answer: who's winning the World Series?
I'm going to
one word.
All right, one word, Dodgers.
I actually got the Dodgers too. See, Dodgers. We think alike. This is why we're doing this together. Yeah,
Dodgers. It'll be Dodgers, Astros in the series again. I think Dodgers take it this time.
Dodgers got this. Yeah. All right, guys. That's a wrap for the first episode. We'll see you next week. Have a great weekend. And we're out.
Peace and love, everybody.